The winner of Salem Broadcasting's Talk Show of the Year Award and the Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards for Outstanding Feature Reporting and for Best Documentary, it's The Don Crow Show on Life-Changing Talk Radio, WAVA.
Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to another hour of The Don Crow Show, daily conversation on things going on in this old world of ours. Chance to talk about them together. And sitting in for me today, guest hosting the show, Kim Gegline, a former special advisor to the president and deputy director at the Office of Public Liaison during the presidency of George W. Bush. Kim now serves as vice president for external relations at Focus on the Family. And he's the author of a superb book titled The Man in the Middle, an inside account of faith and politics in the George W. Bush era. And I'm sure you are in for another great hour with him right here on The Don Crow Show, so I hope you can stay right where you are.
And a happy Friday afternoon to you. Yes, it is Friday, August 5th, and I'm Tim Gegline filling in for the great Don Crow, who will be back on Tuesday. I'm sure he's enjoying a good summertime and much-deserved rest. You know, if you are a conservative, it is quite possible that you have never heard of the most important conservative in American history. You've heard of Ronald Reagan, undoubtedly, probably William F. Buckley or Bill Buckley, but Russell Kirk, this is a man whose name is little known, and yet, and it's so easy to overstate this, Russell Kirk was a giant. He was a colossus. He was the most important a conservative in American history, and he was a remarkable scholar, philosopher, generator of ideas, and I have to tell you, having read hundreds of biographies in my life, it is a rare treat and privilege to read a biography of this quality, and it is a hard thing to take a man who had a large internal world, who lived in a world of ideas, and to bring him to life so electrically as Brad Berzer has done in his wonderful biography, Russell Kirk, American Conservative. Brad, welcome to the Don Crow Show, and congratulations on a really extraordinary biography.
Hi, Tim. Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are a Hillsdale college professor, and undoubtedly a lot of our listeners know a lot about Hillsdale. But I'm going to ask you the most elemental question and just enjoy your answer. And here's how I'll start. For all of those listening who are conservatives, who have said, Russell, who was Russell Kirk and why does he matter in 21st century America?
Well, Tim, thank you. That's a great question. And of course, it's always an honor to talk about Kirk. Kirk was born in 1918 and passed away in 1994. And you were absolutely right. I love the way you introduced things, that he had a very large internal world. I think this is a man who, even though he was a man of much action, he really was first and foremost a writer. And I was overwhelmed when Annette, his widow, allowed me to go through his personal papers, letters, diaries, unpublished manuscripts. It's just, as I wrote in my proposal to the publisher at the time, it's as though Kirk actually possessed a typewriter as a part of his body, which I realize is a disgusting image, but yes. I just don't know how he was able to accomplish what he did. He just never stopped writing. But you're absolutely right that he was able to bring that internal world into something coherent and cohesive in his brilliant 1953 book, The Conservative Mind. And it is amazing now that we don't think of him, but you know, for those, and I know Tim, you and I aren't that far apart in age, and really for most of our listening audience, this would be unusual but if for them to remember this, but between about 1953 and 1964, Kirk was an absolute celebrity. He was known, he was a household name during those years. And everybody in America and really throughout the English-speaking world would have known of him. If they hadn't read him, they certainly would have known who he was. They would have heard him on radio. They would have seen him in Time magazine or in the Chicago Trib or the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Certainly, he was well known, but his reputation, you know, just declined immensely after the Goldwater fiasco of 1964.
Yeah, now I want to pick up on that for one moment because I want to set the stage for our conversation in a way that builds on what you've just said. It's difficult in 21st century America for a lot of conservatives and liberals to say there was really not a tradition of conservative ideas. I mean, they were kind of out there in literature. They were out there, certainly, in high culture. But in a way that the liberals said, "Gosh, you know, here's the tradition from A to Z." It was much more fractured. And what Russell Kirk seems to have done, and you evoke this so beautifully in your book, is he gave coherence to an actual tradition that existed. And it actually meant something in American politics. He married this world of ideas to politics and brought it into a coherence that really meant something all the way down and including the eventual election of Ronald Reagan to the presidency.
Oh, absolutely, Tim. And I don't think there's any way that anyone could do an honest history of Reagan or of conservatism without starting with Russell Kirk. We know how much Reagan was influenced by Kirk, Goldwater even more so. But certainly there is such a tie there. And you're right, coming out, I think it's important to contextualize some of this. Coming out of World War II, everybody in the Western world, we all knew what we weren't. We knew we weren't Nazis. We knew we weren't communists. But one of the most frustrating questions was, well, then what are we? We know what we're not, but what are we? And I think that's what, not just Kirk, I think some of the liberals were trying to do this, which is why they liked Kirk at first. There was a conversation after World War II that basically said, we need to know who we are. Does that mean we go to the founding? Does that mean we go all the way back to Socrates? Where does Jesus fit into this tradition? Is he the tradition? This was a huge question. And I think that Kirk was one of these people who had been asking this all along. But when that question was ready to be asked in Western civilization, Kirk had an answer, and there were few people who did. So he caught on, not just among conservatives or people who realized they were conservative, but really throughout much of the intellectual, the well-read, intelligent world. You're the average American man who went to work, came home, and read the newspaper. That's who Kirk was really appealing to. And I think that he was able to provide something that nobody else at the time really was. Even someone like Buckley, was giving pieces of the answer, or, other people like Albert J. Nock a little bit earlier. But I think it was Kirk who really pulled together a whole variety of schools of thought. Even someone as far what would seem far afield like Ray Bradbury, I think that Kirk was able to pull a lot of those ideas that were floating around at the time together and kind of give an answer to who we are as an American people.
Brad, is it fair to say that Russell Kirk's great achievement is that he made conservatism relevant to the general thinking public? It seems to me a very tall task.
Oh, absolutely. And you can imagine what it would have been like in 1953. And, Kirk went with an obscure publisher. He went with this small publisher out of Chicago who had only been around for a couple of years, Henry Regnery, because he knew that if he was going to do something, it would have to be with someone who would give him leeway. That is, Alfred Knopf had accepted the conservative mind, but had wanted him to cut it down by roughly 50%, maybe 40% or something. And Kirk said, well, no, that's not what I'm trying to do here. And so he went with a smaller publisher because he wanted to be able to say what he needed to say. And, thank the good Lord that Henry Regnery understood what Kirk was doing and, what an alliance. So to be able not only to make Regnery a household name, but to make Kirk a household name as well. They really were a great team.
Yes, and we're going to pick up on exactly that point as to the matrix of Russell Kirk, William F. Buckley Jr., Ronald Reagan, and Barry Goldwater, and the making of American conservatism. Stay with us here on the Don Crow Show on WAVA. We'll be back with our guest Brad Berzer in just a moment.